And welcome back to the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show, a podcast brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. We appreciate you guys joining us today. We have a very special guest. I have not had him in the booth just yet, but today we're not necessarily talking about work. We're talking about something else. So I'm going to let him take a second to introduce himself for those of you who are just listening so you can put a voice to a name, and he and I will get started. So good morning, sir. Thanks for joining us.
My name is Joe Shumate. I'm the Dell Springs Marshal for Wards 2 and Wards 7 that we cover in the city. I'm here today, not as the marshal. I'm here today talking to you as a man, as a granddaddy, as a family man. I have something near and dear to my heart that I want to talk to your audience about today. And thank you for having me on this show and being able to get my little message out.
Sure, absolutely. I know today is a very deeply and deep and personal message that you want to deliver. And before we get to it, I just want to clarify with some folks who I know had some questions in the past. You had COVID pretty early in the process, did you not?
In March of 20, I did.
Yeah, and you and I got to talk after you got out of the hospital, and I know that at that time, you know, you were saying some of the similar things you'll say today. I know that everybody's health is a personal choice, but this is serious. You were in the hospital for a few days.
Yeah, I was in there 4 days, and I received the hydroxychloroquine drug, which really helped me tremendously, and I recovered, and it did me in. I was down about a month with it, but I recovered, and I'm a big advocate of when it comes on you, go to the doctor. There's things you can do now that you couldn't do back then that, you know, that you have options. You can get infusions. My daughter-in-law got the infusions. It helped her tremendously. My son, and I'll tell y'all about that a little later on, it was too late for him, and he couldn't get the infusions because the damage was already done to his lungs. He no longer had COVID, but he had the damage to his lungs.
So that is really the big purpose of the story today is being proactive and being and getting after it quick, whether it's the vaccine or if you choose not to have the vaccine, if you do get sick, quick action could save your life.
That's correct. And I respect people's opinions. I respect, you know, this is a message that God's put on my heart to talk to people about.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. And I respect everyone's opinion. You're welcome to your opinion. And I'm not like, if you don't agree with me, I got a problem with that. Your opinion, your health, your family, you know, and I respect that.
Sure. And today we're going to talk about your family. You recently lost your son.
Yeah.
As you said, he had gotten past the COVID, but the damage, unfortunately, had been done. Tell us a little bit about that. I don't want to call it a saga, but about that experience that you went through.
Yeah. I'm basically going to tell you the story. Like I said, as you brought up earlier, I had it last year and recovered from it, and I did take the shots. I took the Moderna shots, both the shots, so I call it double protection. I have the antibodies from having it in the past, and I have the antibodies from the shot, if that's what you want to call it. This day and time, it's not if you're going to get it, it's when you're going to get it, and the shots help it lessen the effects on you. My son and his wife both had it. Went through his whole family. His mother-in-law got it first, and then it went to the, and she had shot one, and she's in her late 60s. She was sick for a couple of days, and then she was over it. The children who were 9 and 12 got it. They had it a few days, and it wasn't too much for them. Mama, who's in her late 30s, got it. It did her in big time. And then she gave it to Daddy. Later on, after he got it, he wound up going to Central Stat. My son did. He's 37 years old. Good health. No pre-existing other than a little high blood pressure that he inherited from me, that I inherited from my daddy. You know how that goes.
I do.
And he went to Central Stat. At Central Stat, they told him he had viral pneumonia to go with it. And they gave him some prescriptions and, you know, this was on a Saturday. The following Tuesday night, they had to take him to the hospital. His oxygen level had got so low. They put him in the hospital, you know, with the low oxygen and the other effects from it. The next night, Wednesday, Mama goes to the hospital, his wife, and they both wind up in the hospital in the same room, in fact. Tessie was able to get infusions while in the hospital, which really lessens the effect on her and gave her the antibodies. My son Matt already had the damage, and he could not get the antibodies, the infusions. They moved him from Lane Memorial to the lake, and he was in the same unit I was in last year. And he was there for, he was on the BiPAP, which is one step below the vent, for 2 weeks, and it really gave him fits. You know, and that it, like it does, people are wrong at, you know, they panic because you can't get your breath, and you know, this is all with it. So finally one day the nurse called me and said, look, said, I need you to come over here. I said, we're going to have to put your son on a vent, and he wants to talk to you first. Of course, I went over and comforted him and talked to him and said, put in the Lord's hands, and they did put him to sleep and put him under, and he did rest. He did improve to a certain extent. He reached up to a certain level, and then he got on a plateau. He didn't get any worse. He didn't get any better. But the damage was so bad on his lungs that he got to a point where he started slipping, going down, because his body would not transfer oxygen from the lungs to the blood. And a doctor said that, you know, I've turned the machine up as high as I can turn without blowing his lungs out. So that's how bad it got on him. And we got to go visit and talk and quite a bit, you know, and he was asleep, but he could hear us. You know, you could see the machine move when you talked to him and stuff, you know. And so Tessie she was in the hospital about a week, and she got out. She was able to come home, and she's better, you know, now. But my son, I call it, he went through hell literally backwards. He was on the ventilator for 4 weeks. They wanted to put him on, put a trach in, but they never could get him stable enough. His oxygen level wouldn't get, or his blood pressure. And this is, again, a reaction to the COVID virus. In there, and I'll tell you about that. Like I said, I was in the same unit he was in. In there was a bunch of people in the 30s and 40s. Not a single one of them had the vaccine. Not one person. And again, I respect people's own self. And I think it's your decision whether you put something in your body. I don't think it's a government decision, and you should make this decision. My son didn't make it. Instead of being proactive and taking a vaccine, he was reactive, and it didn't work out too well for him. He has a 9-year-old, 12-year-old, and a wife left. And of course, God had other plans for him, and I accept that. My message to people is to talk to your family. Talk to your doctor. Y'all make a decision on whether you take the vaccine or not, not the government. But you daddies need to know how it affects, on down the line, your kids, your wife. It didn't work too well for my son, but he's with the Lord. I know where he's at.
Yes, sir. And I first and foremost, I want to say I appreciate your bravery for coming to deliver this message. I know it's emotional. I know it's very difficult. You know, I will say I'm a stepfather, but I have the shot as well. I did it for the same reason you probably did. I have people that rely on me and that care about my health, and you know, I went and got it. And you know, it's tough to lose. You know, we're not supposed to bury our children. And that's not the way it's supposed to go. So, you know, I know that I can appreciate your message because it's not, you know, I know that right now we're bombarded with the message from the government, take the vaccine. A lot of people push back because of what you said. You know, it's the government telling you what to do. I can appreciate the way you modeled that. You know, you need to talk to your family about it. Because at the end of the day, whether the government's telling you or not, the vaccine does something. And it is important to be proactive.
Yes, absolutely. It's just like, you know, the flu vaccines. Vaccines you took as a child. They help you deal with things that you run into with these. And we come into people every day that in grocery stores, in restaurants, in your work, that they've come in into contact with other people, and you'll get it one way or the other with that. And again, I respect people's own choice. But make a good choice. Make a choice based on your needs with your family and your medical doctor, not the government.
And that's fair. Is there anything, I guess, you know, you were already talking to fathers out there. You know, is there anything that you would like to say? Because not everybody is a father, or not everybody is a mother. You know, not everybody is a parent. Is there anything that you could say to those folks who are not, you know, that, you know, trying to get them to understand, even if they don't get the vaccine, to be proactive or quick acting if they have the virus?
Well, in life, if you can be proactive with something, is anticipate it, see it, try to work it, looking ahead a little bit. Don't just look today when you make a decision on something. Look at something last week, today, next week, next year. Make your decision based on all that picture at one time, not just one little thing today. Be proactive in your life. Be proactive, and it will make a difference for you. If you're reactive, sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work too well.
It's a risk if you wait. So, I want to thank you for taking the time to come deliver this message. It is a man's story about his family. It hits home. I think it's going to hit home for a lot of people. The last thing I would ask is, if after telling this story, someone walked up to you and said, "I still don't believe I should get the vaccine," what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, I respect their choice. And you have to do what you have to do. But I would encourage them to talk to their families and talk to their personal doctor. And then whatever choice you make, that's just your decision. You live between you and God.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up?
That's it. You know, this weekend's been something. We've had my son was a second-generation professional law enforcement officer. We had a state trooper killed this weekend. And we need to remember our first responders.
Yes, we do. And you've been through that line as well. You have quite a storied career as a law enforcement officer, and I'm sure it made you proud that your son was following in your footsteps and had a good career himself.
Yeah, he was a 17-year veteran and an instructor.
Oh, wow. Okay, so a teacher. So, you know, a huge loss, and something that, you know, I would encourage people to think about as well, because when you think in the past and you think in the future, you know, your son had not only a bright future, but had affected so many lives. And, you know, it's tough to wrap your mind around that. But when you don't get the shot, or you don't prepare, or you don't act quickly, you know, this virus, it's crazy. It acts quickly.
Yes,
let's put
it
that way.
Yes, it does. It surely does.
Well, sir, one last time, I do want to say thank you for coming and having the courage to come tell this story. I know it's not easy. And I know that our audience appreciates it and appreciates your work as Marshall. You know, maybe to add a little levity, but I know you have quite a bit of backing. You won that election by a pretty decisive margin. So, you are a loved member of the community. And we appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you'll go ahead and I guess you can say reintroduce yourself as we check out.
Again, I'm Joe Shumate. I'm the Dental Springs Marshal. I'm not talking to you as a Marshal today. I'm talking to you as a man.
And my name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. We appreciate you guys out there joining us today. We know that this was an emotional story, but the Marshal believed that he needed to tell it, and we are appreciative that he took the time to do so and exhibited the courage to do so as well. We want to remind folks that we are on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays at $7 a month to get that in your mailbox. We're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com. We do hope that If you have gotten the shot, we appreciate that. If you have been proactive about the coronavirus, we appreciate that. We do hope if you haven't, that you will at least take the time to go speak with your family and speak with your doctor. Ignore what the government's telling you. I think we all kind of need to ignore what the government's doing every now and again. We need a little break from that. But this is a family decision. It affects your family. Have that conversation internally and have a conversation with your doctor. I think that's the message you'd like to deliver today.
Absolutely.
And so we do appreciate that. If even one family does it, I think this was worth it. I mean, I think it was worth it just for you to get that message out.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next time.